You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
You all, this feels phenomenal to all be back together in the same space. I love it. We're so glad to get to worship together. It was great to be together on Monday and looking forward to this semester together. So this morning, I'm in Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 36. So hear the word of the Lord for us today. Let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus, whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, even whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. This is the word of God. It is true and it can be trusted. Jesus, thank you for the gift of your scripture. Thank you for the way that it roots and anchors our lives, our decisions, our relationships, our very beings. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to us through it. In your name, amen. Well, as Dr. Dodhoff mentioned, I graduated here from Asbury, and my very first illustrious job after graduating from Asbury University was working in a video store. So don't be too concerned. It was a great first job, people. But actually, I worked at a video store. First of all, you all probably don't know about video stores, do you? Okay, well, long ago, many, many, many years ago, they used to have these things called video stores, and you'd go to the video shop, and you'd spend a long time on Friday nights and the weekends, and you would select your video. In fact, they had one right here in Wilmore. It was called Ready to Go Video. Anyone remember Ready to Go Video? Anyone? No, a few? Thanks, Mom. My mom remembers it. Okay, Ready to Go Video, and it was located where the Wilmore Wash House is right now. So it's like behind Subway, the Wilmore Wash House used to hold Ready to Go Video. So if you were a student back then and these many years ago, you would go to Ready to Go Video and you'd pay your 99 cents for like an old release or maybe your $3.65 for a new release and you'd get it for 24 or 48 hours. And it was like big time here in Wilmore, Kentucky. Okay, so this was one of my very first jobs outside of university, putting all my skills to use. It was a fine job. And I remember my first night to close by myself. And so I put all of the videos away with their little tags, and I had to approach the horror section with much prayer, but I did it. And I covered my bases. I put the money in the pouch. I locked the cash register. I tried the back door. And they had told me, you know, we don't have a set of keys for you yet, but just exit through the front door, pull the door shut, locked behind you. Thank you very much. We'll get your keys soon. And so sure enough, as I was exiting the Ready to Go Video, if you've been to the Wilmore Wash House, you know that there's a glassed-in entry with double doors, and then you can go to the left, or you can go to the right. It was to the right, it was Ready to Go Video. To the left was the laundromat. So I stepped out of Ready to Go Video, pulled that door shut, and I went to go through those front doors, and they were locked. They were locked. Okay, so remember how I said this many years ago? This was before cell phones. I did not have a cell phone. And I was here in this little entryway of Ready to Go Video, and did I tell you it was 1 a.m. in Wilmore? Without a cell phone, here, I was locked in. I was locked in. You can imagine that I was feeling a little bit of stress and a little bit of panic, and I looked around, trying all the doors, trying all the ways, and I noticed that in the door there was like a mail slot, so I like put my arm in the mail slot and tried to like turn it around and unlock the door. Couldn't reach it. My arm was just all scraped up from the mail slot. So I stood there, tried to convince myself that someday, like today, it was going to make a really funny story. But at that moment, I just felt panic. What was going to happen? I was here in the middle of the night. Did anybody know I was here? I didn't have a cell phone. It's Wilmore. It's 1 a.m. on a Saturday night. Like, who's coming here? What am I going to do? Am I going to spend the whole night here? What if I have to go to the bathroom? I'm going to have to go to the bathroom. What's going to happen? Am I going to sleep here? When's someone going to come? When is it going to show up? So trying, you know, I was like, okay, better pray. You know, covered the prayer. Walking around in my little cubicle. Dozed off. Woke up, it's still like, I don't know what time it is at this point, somewhere in the middle of the night. I was totally locked in. I needed a rescue plan. Now, I didn't need a rescue plan like we were talking about earlier today when Pastor Greg prayed for the people in Afghanistan and Haiti. I mean, truly what's happening in our world is heartbreaking, sobering, and so much devastation has unimaginable consequences. The people that are experiencing the Taliban as they establish rule, the Haitians still immersed in the devastation of an earthquake, the children, 19,000 last month, brought alone at the border. So that's like really needs a rescue plan. This is just a little story about me being kind of stuck. But in reality, we face some demoralizing times. The world needs a rescue plan. The suffering and anguish and loss around the globe is desperate. When God created the world, N.T. Wright talks about these echoes of the voice of God that were built into us and into creation. These echoes in our human nature that give us the yearning of justice, a thirst for spirituality, a craving for relationship, and the recognition of wild beauty all around us. In Dr. Brown's book, Design for Good, Dr. Brown comments that our own innate responses to injustice, our own recognition of the need for sacrificial love, confirms that we are put together with a blueprint of a moral reality that exists outside of us. It not only points us to the presence of God, but it helps us know that we were designed by God for good. Whether we know Jesus or we don't know Jesus, around the world, we know that things are not right. We know that despite the ways that we are created with our desires for justice and our recognition of beauty and awe that calls us to the transcendent, we know that it's not enough. Human beings need a rescue plan. We need a way. And God saw that. And God does what God does. When God wants to do something big in the world, God sends a baby, and God sent Jesus. But yet, the political structure of the day and the religious leaders did not see Jesus as a rescue plan. Instead, they saw him as someone who dangerously shifted this new way of being in a world that was no longer governed by status and law and regulation and power, but it was a world that was being birthed with sacrifice, humility, and vulnerability. And so they put him to death. His own people gave him over to death in the most barbaric and terrible way possible. Except that you know the end of this story. It could not keep him in the grave. And our revolutionary Savior defeated death and launched the rescue plan of the world. And there was a group of people, perhaps ragtag at first, who followed the way of Jesus into the world, and they were called the first followers of Christ, the first Christians. Do you know how much the world needs Christians? God is in the habit of using real Christians to be part of the rescue plan. But what does it mean to be a Christian? What is it? Does it mean anything anymore? It seems like the word Christian has gotten co-opted to be used when it serves us well, when the identity of a Christian is to our advantage. To be a Christian, it could just mean being a moral person. It could mean going to church on Sunday. It could mean voting in a certain way or not voting in another way. It could be following a certain political figure or not. And then we use it to describe things. Christian t-shirts, Christian movies, Christian music, Christian jewelry. We use the identifier Christian to secure our consumerism or to secure our personal perspectives and our opinion or even our own well-thought-out, true, political ideology. And you may feel like I have, that I'm not sure what people mean anymore when they say that they're a Christian, because it doesn't really mean a lot. Many of us, in fact, don't really even like the shared identity of being a Christian. We've been so soaked in our own individualism of the modern Western culture that we feel threatened by our identity being co-opted by someone else, especially when we're not very content with this Christian family. It doesn't agree with us, and frankly, a lot of them aren't very nice. But is that what it means to be a Christian? You know, I think that as Christians, we have forgotten that being a Christian is not a political tool or a way to describe a voting system or a way to describe our national pride. Being a Christian is a whole new way to live, a Jesus way, the most compelling, transformative, life-changing, best way to live. I am a Christian. It is the most freeing, hopeful, energizing, joy-building force in my life. As an author popularized, it has ruined my life in all the right ways because it turns away my inward bent to self, to the inward bent to others, to Jesus. This year in chapel, our theme is Journey Together, and it's all about belonging, belonging to God, belonging to Christ, belonging to the way of Christ, belonging to one another. Being people like these first Christians who shared life, we get to share life together at Asbury, who devoted ourselves to the apostles' teaching, we get to do that, who had common meals together, who did the practice of prayer, to belong to one another in the context of belonging to God. So when Jesus ascended back into heaven, there was a group of those early Christians, those Christ followers, the Jesus way people, and they got themselves into a room, and do you know what happened? The wind of the Holy Spirit blew through, and fire descended upon them, and they were immersed in the Holy Spirit. There was Jews of every nation around them, and people came, they flooded. They were like, what's going on? Have they had too much to drink? Are they nuts? Are they crazy? Why are they speaking in all these different languages? They sneered at them. And Peter, the one that Jesus called to build his church, Peter gets up and he preaches the sermon of his life. He preaches a sermon. He starts in the beginning and he goes through the end and he tells the whole story with Jesus. And he says, the man that you arrested, he's talking to the Jews who gave Jesus over to be killed. The man that you arrested, you crucified and killed, this is the one that God raised up. This is the Messiah that raised up and freed from death. This is the Messiah whom you crucified. It's kind of perhaps not a seeker-sensitive message. Peter's not pulling punches. He's not even being winsome. And the Holy Spirit was on the listeners and upon Peter. And when Jews of every nation heard this, it cut them to the heart. And they turned to Peter and they said, what should we do? What should we do? Like Dr. Brown was talking about on Monday. They had not known. They didn't know what they didn't know. And when they knew it, what should we do? This is the point, the beginning of Christianity, that when we hear the good news, the gospel of Jesus, our heart is filled with conviction. It's cut to the heart. One of our trip-ups in our world and in our age is that we think Christianity is about supporting us and what we already think about the world, even if it's very good things. And surely other Christians should think the things that I think about. And club Christianity could be a good be about being a good person or a vague sense of morality and religiosity. But being a Christian begins when we are cut to the heart that Jesus died and rose from the dead for us for forgiveness of sins. And our response is, what should we do now? All of a sudden we recognize we are part of the problem. We are the problem. We need a rescue plan. It starts with, I am wrong. I have sinned. I am part of the problem. Not, Christianity will join me in my ideology of the way I'm already living. Peter responds to their question, and he says to this group of Jews, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven. The first thing he says to them is repent. It means to change your whole thinking, your whole mindset, your words and your deeds, to turn away from yourself being the center of your life. It means to follow Jesus forward. Entering the Christian walk, to repent, is not a location on a map. It is a journey to the heart of God. It does not begin and end in a space. It is a journey and trajectory towards the heart of God. And it begins by turning away from self, turning away from sin, turning away from our mindset, and opening ourselves to the power of Christ. And then he says, be baptized. What he's talking about is that our life must be as if it has been buried with Christ. Who we are pre-Jesus no longer exists. We have been buried with Christ, covered over by the grave. And through the power of the resurrection of Jesus, we come forth a new creation, a new person. We leave the old behind. We are on a trajectory of newness, of new creation, of new being. Paul is saying, lose yourself in Jesus. Paul's not saying, well, let me tell you where you can buy your Christian t-shirt. Not that Christian t-shirts are bad. That is not the identifier. The identifier is the new creation. And then he says, Peter says, in the name of Jesus. This is perhaps the most important, well, it's all important. I guess we can't rank it. The words Jesus is Lord now become the center of our lives, the place where we bend our knee and lay down our lives. And this is what it means to be a Christian. This is it. Jesus is Lord, is the unifying cry of Christians. It's what we all come together on. It's what we have to come together on. It's the non-negotiable, the essential, the essence of being a Christian, is that our knee bends, our heart is open to the cry of Jesus is Lord. It means that our whole lives no longer revolve around self. They no longer revolve around any other commitment, orientation, flag, covenant, relationship, ideology. It means that our lives are now oriented around one thing, Jesus is Lord. That's the thing. That's the thing, Asbury, that brings us together. If you are a Christian, if you want to be a Christian, the question to ask yourself, the question that Peter was posing to us, to them, is there anything between you and Jesus is Lord? The final thing Paul tells these new Christians, one of the final things, is you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Remember, these Jews he's speaking to have understood the intersection between heaven and earth in the temple. And now Peter says, heaven and earth through the power of the Holy Spirit indwells in you. You are walking around heaven and earth intersections. We become walking around temples of God. We become part of God's rescue plan. Christians, our mission, the very essence of the word mission in Latin is send. We are sent forth by Jesus into the world. Christians, real Christians, Jesus is Lord Christians, we are the rescue plan. We are the rescue plan through the power of the Holy Spirit, through God's anointing, through God's work on the world. Okay, so back to my story. So I'm trapped in that little glass box. It's 2 a.m. All I've got is like a very tall gumball container and no quarters. I've like really extended myself past panic. Settled myself into my reality, and then I see the most beautiful sight that's ever been seen, the Wilmore police. And here they came, right through, I still remember it, right through that IGA parking lot, and I did what any very thoughtful person would do. I started like yelling and waving my arms, and sure enough, they saw me, thanks be to God, and after a very long time, because the owner was in Lexington, they finally were able to unlock the doors, and I was saved, rescued from ready-to-go video. That's a silly story. But the rescue plan is not silly. God intends to put the world to rights, and he has dramatically launched this project through Jesus. Those who belong to Jesus, Christians are called here and now in the power of the Spirit to be agents of that putting to right purpose. So we talk about belonging at Asbury. We're talking first and foremost about belonging to the family of Christians, to being people who are set apart because we share Jesus as Lord. There may be a lot of other things we disagree on, I guarantee you. We'll find a lot of things we disagree on. But what we come together in is a knee bent, a heart open, a posture of obedience to the cry of our hearts that Jesus is Lord. You do not need to have to be a Christian to be a student here. Everyone is welcome and invited. But the more you understand who we are and what we're about at Asbury, the more you will see that we are equipping and training and preparing people to be part of God's rescue plan at every level of society, from the most highest world global leader through our churches, our families, our communities, our schools, our nonprofits. We are equipping people for a rescue plan. And the more that you begin to understand your identity and place as part of the Jesus is Lord Christ followers, the more that this life that we're doing together, where we share meals together, we break bread together, we practice what it means to put down our own preferences together for the sake of this beautiful community, the more you understand that what is behind that is that you are prepared to be part of the project that God launched and initiated through Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about with belonging. Wherever you come from, whatever you've done or whatever you didn't do, whether your family story is broken or whole, whether you're full of doubt or full of faith, or whether you feel like you've got a great GPA or a terrible GPA, whether or not you feel like you fit or you don't fit, we want you to be part of the Asbury story. And even more than that, we want you to be part of the Jesus is Lord story. You all, it's a wild and beautiful life. It's hard and it's holy, but it's the most winsome, compelling, transformative, life-changing way to live. Yeah, it'll ruin you for self. Might ruin some of your dreams. But instead, it's going to put you in the dream of God to be inaugurated into his rescue plan for the world. Let's pray. Jesus, we know that the world desperately needs real Christians. And we also know that you, that I, that these students, that we need a rescue plan, that we're stuck in our own sin and we're lost. We know that the world needs a rescue plan, and we know that the work of Asbury is equipping us. So Jesus, would you open up our hearts and our eyes, our minds, to see how you are calling us to the foot of the cross, how you're calling us together around the cry of Jesus is Lord, how you're calling us to you, Jesus, to a trajectory and a life and a way that is so much deeper than a bumper sticker or going to church, that you're calling us, Jesus, to be part of God's rescue plan project inaugurated through Jesus. So, Lord, would you speak in the way that only you can speak? In your name, amen. Mm-hmm.